May I just say a quick word about our table out here in the entranceway? We would be very encouraged if you stopped by the table, got some things that would be a blessing to you. You would be a blessing to us. For 29 years, almost 29 years now, we have been on the road in itinerant ministry and have never raised support. We live literally from day to day and week to week. That table is very important. And many of you have our latest two recordings. We were just here in December for the seniors' Christmas banquet. Had a wonderful thing. Had not anticipated. The pastor said on the way out, now keep in touch. We want to have you back. But neither he nor I realized it would be this soon. And we were originally scheduled to be in Jacksonville, Florida today. We were in West Palm Beach the week before and had to rearrange to be back in Canada. And your pastor is so gracious. He's one of those very few individuals I'd have nerve enough to phone and say, do you want us this soon? And he said, you know, I am so excited that your pastor, his wife and family, Nathan, wherever you are, and your brother, it's such a blessing to see a family taking spiritual leadership. We don't see that all the time. Now, there's something about your pastor that troubles me. And I realize I was already preaching when he was born. Now, I started very, very young, I want you to know. I was 13 years old when I started to preach. Literally, seriously. But I know that... Now, our latest two recordings, we have a special on these two for $20. They're out here. And by the way, the saxophone is on this one, and there are no sticking notes on this on the recording. There's 12 songs in each one. You hear our whole family. It used to be a family group until they grew up on us, but we did one more family recording. If you don't have these, two for 20, the special we have on them. And then we carry with us the Gaither Homecoming material. I don't know whether you saw this week the brand new Alaska Homecoming and Majesty Live were on TV this week because they've just been released. We just got them in, done on the deck of the ship in Alaska when they had the Gaither cruise. These are the two newest ones. The DVDs are 20. The CDs of Gaither's are 15. We can't discount them. He needs the money. We just cannot discount those, but there's a bunch of other ones out there. Have a look at those. Get yourself some great music. We have three or four of these left. If you have children, this is the full-length movie of VeggieTales Jonah. And these are $15. There's only three or four of them left. And then we have some other books out on the table. If you ever heard Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris sing, I've Just Seen Jesus, it absolutely makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. This is a whole book, I've Just Seen Jesus, and then the CD in the back with them singing it. They're $10 a piece. We've just got a few of those. Easter's coming up. This is a wonderful children's book, The Story of Easter. They're $8 a piece, hardback, wonderful, complete story of Easter for boys and girls. And then we just have a couple of Dr. David Jeremiah's book, How to Live in a Chaotic World Out There, and one left of John MacArthur's 12 Extraordinary Women. You may be married to one, and you want to find out about the other 11. So there's just one copy of it left on the table. Those hardcover books are $20 a piece for first come, first served. I want you to open your Bible this morning to 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and for just a few moments, I want to speak to you on this subject, billboards on Route 2011. The 401 runs just south of here, but there's another route that every one of us are on every day of our lives. It's Route 2011, or Highway 2011. And there's billboards everywhere. You might see a billboard like this. The Toronto Maple Leafs will not win the Stanley Cup. And they're not going to. You know the similarity between the Titanic and the Toronto Maple Leafs? They both look great till they hit the ice. And so, that may be one billboard on Highway 2011, but much more seriously, in the light of eternity, there are three billboards I want to bring to your attention this morning. Dr. Lee Robertson said this, the soul cannot be satisfied with temporal things. It cannot be satisfied with the world, for the soul is bigger and more enduring than all the things of this world. It simply means this. Ladies and gentlemen, anything that does not have to do with eternity really doesn't matter. It's what has to do with eternity that really matters. Now, lest you think that because General Motors has regrouped and bounced back more than most folks ever dreamed it would have 2.5 years ago, that everything is suddenly fine just because the average price of a Canadian home is now up 5% over a year ago. Oh, we're fine. May I remind you that this very moment in Europe, the finance ministers of the G20 nations of the earth are meeting, and their main reason is try to figure out how to avoid another worldwide financial meltdown. We're not out of the woods. In fact, we're on a very precarious course in 2011. It's time we realize that the God who framed everything has everything under control, and things are happening rapidly today, as we've seen in the past 3 weeks in the Egypt and in all of the nations, Yemen and all of the nations around the Mediterranean Sea that are in turmoil this morning. The things are happening very rapidly these days. And so they will, because Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says, "At such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Therefore, in light of eternity, I need to get my life lined up on Highway 2011 so that I'm watching the billboards, taking particularly note of what is really important in my life and forever and ever and ever, and that I might be certain that everything is okay when I leave this auditorium this morning. Now, I'm going to read here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What's all that to do? Well, it has a whole lot to do. That's the whole region of Turkey. This takes us right back into the area where there is turmoil today in the world. There was turmoil here at this time because the Christians who were in that part of the country were just about to go into tremendous persecution under Nero, the Roman Emperor. Peter is the apostle of hope. He, in the midst of difficult circumstances, he's trying to get these folks, get their eyes off of the circumstances of life onto things that matter in the light of eternity, and that is the sure hope that Jesus Christ is there every step of the way for you if you want Him. A lot of people don't want Him. But if you want Him, He's there for every step of the way, and He will carry you safely through. And so he says, "Here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope," there it is, a living or lively hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus didn't stay on a cross. He was only there for a short period of time. He rose bodily from the grave, and He's been alive ever since. And He's alive so that He can come into my heart and into your heart when you open your heart's door by faith and ask Him to come in. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so he says here that He has begotten us into a living or lively hope, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. He said, I know life is rough, and for some people in this building this morning, life's rough. If I were to stand here and tell you that we're on easy street, I'd be lying. Life is not a bowl of cherries. It doesn't get easier as you get older. There is no such thing as job security anymore. But security is where it's always been. In Almighty God, who hasn't failed anybody yet. And He's not about to. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise,
and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, how can I love somebody that I've never seen? Every grandparent that has a little grandchildren that is born a long ways away from them, and you don't get to see them for a little while, you love them before you see them. Amen? Why? Because you've read about them. You maybe see a picture of them. We see and we read about the Lord Jesus in this book. We see many, many pictures of him. You don't have to see him in order to love him and trust him. And then know that one day you will get to see him face to face with Christ my Savior. And now we come to verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy. In all manner of living, that's what it means. In all manner of conversation, in all manner of living, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Attitude changes everything. What is your attitude this morning towards this billboard on Route 2011, on Highway 2011? Here it is in verse number 3. It's direction for the future. Direction for the future. Do you know where you're headed? I would not get on an airplane unless it had already filed a flight plan. That doesn't guarantee you're going to get there on time, but it does give you a pretty good indication that you will get there eventually. Amen? I was flying down to Atlanta, Georgia, a few weeks ago, out of Roanoke, Virginia. And I was sitting beside a lady who was a professional. She was the head of a company in Fort Myers, Florida. And we got chatting and so forth. And I turned to her and I said, did you interview the pilot before we got on this plane today? And she said, no. I said, did it ever occur to you that half of them graduated in the bottom half of their class? She said, I guess you're right. I never thought about it before. I said, did you check this plane mechanically to make sure that they had everything? They had enough fuel in here to get us to Atlanta and that everything mechanically was okay? Did you double check on that? She said, no. I said, in other words, I said, the two of us put our lives completely in the hands of people we don't even know and have no idea. We're just exercising faith in people we don't even know. I turned to her and I said, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier by faith to put your life for all eternity in the hands of the one who's never ever made a mistake and is always on time? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. Do you know for certain that you're going to arrive safely on heaven's shore? That's what this billboard screams at us this morning when we're going down Highway 2011. Because some of us are not going to get out of this year alive, as far as this world is concerned. We used to sing a song with our family entitled, I Just Started Living. If you know that Jesus Christ has saved your soul, if He's living in your heart right now because by faith you invited Him to come in, and this year or this week or in the next hour you breathe your last on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, teenagers, fellas, gals, I can tell you, you'll have just started living because you'll have reached your destination that God has prepared forever and ever and ever. What a wonderful reason to hope. A certain hope in the light of an uncertain world in which we live. Second one is this. Duration of the circumstance. Every one of us are in various circumstances. You have prayed for some. This dear lady here that's going in for surgery. Some of you, the pastor doesn't even know what's going on in your lives yet. And you're here this morning and you say, Larry, I am going through some of the most difficult days that I have ever experienced in my life. How in the world am I going to get through all of this? Well, look what it says in verse 6. Peter says, hang in there, hold on. greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptations. Paul said pretty well the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, when he said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In other words, in the light of eternity, some rough days, some pain, some sorrow, and tragedy will not last forever. They will last for a period of time, and sometimes longer than we anticipate, but they are not forever. In the light of eternity, it is the glory and the majesty and the wonderfulness of God that we'll have to look forward to, and it'll get you through the rough days when you keep your eyes on a goal, when you keep your eyes on something ahead. A number of years ago, we were singing in the Miramichi in New Brunswick. Back in those days when our children traveled with us, we lived in a 40-foot coach, custom coach bus on the road. And we'd finished up at the little Southwest Baptist Church up there in the Miramichi, way over at the far side of New Brunswick. And after the service, this man said, "Well, I want you to, you're heading back to Ontario." And I said, "Yes, we're rolling back tonight. I hope to get to the Quebec border, pull in, shut the bus down, go to bed for 3 or 4 hours. The rest of them all be sleeping anyway, and then I'll carry on the rest of the way." Well, he said, "Come on over and have something to eat at our place." That night, he told us he owned a trucking company, and he filled our minds full of moose stories. Moose are afraid of nothing. They will challenge an 18-wheeler, they'll challenge a bus, they'll take on a train. It doesn't matter. They will stop at absolutely nothing. And I was, after we left there, I was cutting across, if you've ever been there, there's only one road from the Miramichi over all the way to Grand Falls, New Brunswick, which is on the Trans-Canada. And it's almost 100 miles through there, and there's nothing. There isn't a service station, there isn't a house, there is nothing for nearly 100 miles as you cut across that northern part of New Brunswick. Now, here I was that night, having my mind filled with moose stories and how they had taken on his 18-wheelers and the tragedies and the wrecks they had had. And I got behind the wheel of that bus that night, and the only thing that kept me going was that this road isn't going to last forever. When I see the lights of Grand Falls, I know I'm almost there. And so I'm driving along with that coach, and I'm just scared. I mean, my eyes are just pulling out of my head. I'm watching, expecting a moose to come out at any moment, so forth. All the way across, only thing I saw was a rabbit and a raccoon. That's all I saw. Now, praise the Lord, that's all it was. But ladies and gentlemen, and I look back, that was a dreaded trip. And I certainly didn't enjoy it while I was driving through the night and thinking I was going to be charged by a moose at any moment. Knowing that if they're standing on the road in front of you, they'll come right at you. They'll charge you. And then when I got to Grand Falls, it didn't seem so long. Why? Because I had hope of getting out of this. Our light affliction is but for a little time. No matter what you're going through this morning, get your eyes fixed in the light of eternity. This isn't going to last forever. With God's help, by His grace, and with His encouragement, every day that goes by, I should say, that's one less day I've got to deal with this. Praise God, that's one less hour. I can get through this. I'll keep on going. And on Highway 2011, the second billboard is the duration of the circumstance. Verse 4 tells us what's there for us at the end in the light of eternity. He said we've got a non-destructible inheritance. God's prepared for all of eternity the most wonderful things that we could ever, and beyond what we could imagine. They cannot be damaged. They're non-destructible. Secondly, they'll never be defiled or stained by anything. They'll be absolutely perfect. Number 3, that you will never inherit what God has for you, everlasting life and eternity in the presence of the Lord and millions of other saved people from all over the globe. You will never, ever find that it's not the way it's supposed to be when you get there. It'll be far more wonderful than you've ever imagined. And number 4, he says, reserved in heaven for you. You have an absolute certainty by the fact that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit guards your salvation in like a safety deposit box. It's a sure thing. All you have to do is act upon His invitation. Act upon His invitation. Now, Nathan, where are you? Are you in here this morning? Where are you, Nathan? If you were to come to me this morning after the service and say, "Larry, I'd like you to come with us to El Salvador. We'll even pay your trip. You won't have to raise any money. You won't have to do anything. It's all going to be done for you. We just want you to come. And I said, well, that's a great idea, Nathan. I'd love to do that. But it would never happen unless I did what? Accepted your offer. I can believe it's a great thing. And I'm convinced there's all kinds of people that think it's great to be a born-again Christian. I really would like to know, in the light of eternity, where I'm going to be. I would like to know that I have a Savior that travels with me every step of Highway 2011 this year, no matter what it is that I'm facing, that He'll be with me by my side. He'll encourage me and help me and lift me up when I'm down. And I'd love to have all of that. But it never happens until you accept the offer. And no one can do that for you. You might have a brother, sister, a mom, a dad, a son or a daughter that's praying for you. That's, oh, I so long for them to have Jesus in their heart too. To know that in the light of eternity, they... destination, the direction for the future is clear. They know they'll be in heaven saved by the grace of God and the blood we've been singing about this morning. And to know that He'll be with them every step of the way. It'll never happen until you individually say, yes, Lord, I accept Your invitation and Your offer. And then finally, and our time is gone, destruction of the old nature. Are you everything that you ever wanted to be? Well, all I'd have to do is ask a member of your family and they'd tell me that the real truth. No, they're not. But the Bible admonishes us here on Highway 2011 that we take serious this admonition of God to live a holy, godly life. Destruction of the old nature. We all are born with it. We all do wrong naturally before we do right. We all defy God naturally before we obey Him. It takes the work of Almighty God in your heart to trim away the stuff that shouldn't be there. To put behind you with the help of God. And I love God's forgiveness because He not only forgives, He forgets. Amen. We used to sing a song with our family, forgiven, forgotten, forever. As you go down this 2011 highway, what needs to be eradicated out of your life? Long since past the night of New Year's resolutions. They don't mean much anyway because people try to effect New Year's resolutions on their own. They'll say, I am going to, and then rarely do they ever do it. That's because of our nature. But it's an entire other thing when you say to God, God, You've shown me clearly this morning what should not be in my life, in my attitude, in my lifestyle, but I can't get rid of this on my own. So I'm coming today. I need your help. And I'm confessing to you that this is what needs to take place in my life. And Lord, I can't do this on my own. But I know You can. So here I am. I want You to have all of me today. I want You to be able to take this. And with Your help, by Your grace, I'm going to get this put behind me. So that I am starting to be more of the husband, the wife, the son, the daughter, the brother, the sister, the grandma, the grandpa that my family deserves to have. 3 billboards on Highway 2011. One of those caught your attention this morning? If they have, then no one can do anything about it but you. Not the person sitting beside you, not the person that loves you and cares for you. Only you. Only me. And if you die and miss heaven, you have no one to blame but yourself. If you get down and discouraged to the place you just can't hardly keep on living because of the circumstances of your life, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Because Jesus said, look, I'll go with you through the storms and I'll get you safely out of it in my own time. And tonight, this morning, if you just continue living on the way you always have, as most of us naturally do, we say, oh, well, we're not so bad. Aren't we great at justifying ourselves because we're not as bad as somebody else we know? But according to God's holy standards, it doesn't hold any water. Nobody has to tell us. Pastor doesn't have to point it out to you. Your family members don't have to point it out to you. Almighty God's already pointed out to you what is the most urgent thing in your life this morning that He needs to get out of it, eradicate, put behind. Then we ask Him to help you do it. Let's bow together in prayer. Pastor Nedo is coming with every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. We're just going to wait for everybody, nobody looking around. In a moment, Pastor Nedo is going to pray. And you may want him to pray for you, especially this morning. If I describe you in the next few seconds, raise your hand and say, Pastor, that describes me. Please pray for me. Right now you're saying, Pastor, I know. Nobody has to tell me. I know what is the most urgent thing in my life right now that needs to be eradicated out of my lifestyle, out of my thought life, out of my attitudes. I know what it is. I have been thus far really unwilling to seriously address this, but this morning I'm saying, God, I'm going to recognize and confess to you this is my greatest need, and I need your help in order to get this behind me. That describes me, Pastor. Would you please pray for me? Slip up your hand all over the building and put it back down again. Hold it up. Thank you. Thank you. Hold it up. Put it back down again. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. You say, Larry, Pastor, I'm going through some unbelievably difficult days. There's been times I've not known how I could even live another day, another week or month. I've got challenges, things over which I have no control. I can't do really anything much about it. And it's just overwhelming my spirit. But today, I sense a glimmer of hope, knowing that God already knows all about this. And He knows how long it's going to last, and it's not going to last forever. And so, Pastor, what I'm deciding right now is I'm going to get my eyes past this on the things that are in the light of eternity, all the good stuff that God has in store when I see the lights of the city on the Trans-Canada, as you saw, Larry, many years ago. It kept you going through the darkness and through the difficulty. And, Pastor, that describes where I'm at this morning. And I need God to give me a fresh vision that these circumstances are not going to last forever, and a new hope that describes where I'm at. I need God's help in all of these things. Please pray for me. Let me see your hand. Slip it up. That describes you this morning. God bless you, you and you and you and many others, many others. God bless you. One last question. Where are you going to be 100 years from now? You're going to be alive somewhere because you have within you a living soul. The body dies, but the soul doesn't. The soul and spirit live forever. And God says there'll be a resurrection body. That's an extra bonus in there. We won't get into that. But you'll be alive somewhere 100 years from now. Where's it going to be? If you're not absolutely 100% sure that you have personally made the decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart, save your soul, wash your sin away with the power of His blood, make you a brand new person, and by faith you receive the wonderful gift of everlasting life, would you ask Him for it right now? Right where you're seated. Ask Him for it right now. Lord Jesus, nobody can make this decision for me but me. Please come into my heart right now and save me so that I might know beyond a shadow of a doubt where I'll be 100 years from now. Wouldn't embarrass you for the world. I could ask you to come forward. But I sure would love to rejoice with you this morning. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you just prayed and asked Jesus into your heart, and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, and you say, Larry, now I know where I'll be 100 years from now. Will you just raise your head and look directly at me until I see you, and then put your head back down again? Raise your head and look directly at me. God bless you. How many others? Larry, I want you to know I've settled this. Nobody can do it for you. Does it make any sense to not make certain where you're going to be? To go down Highway 2011, taking your chances, which are zero, without Jesus? Anybody else, look right up here. Say, Larry, I want you to know that today I ask Jesus into my heart too.
Father, we just thank you and praise you so, so much for your goodness and for your grace. Father, thank you for those individuals who have trusted in Christ by your grace this morning. Father, thank you for that. Praise you for that. Lord God, I just pray that you would give them the strength now, Lord God, to live their lives for your glory, Father. They belong to Christ. And Father, only you can strengthen them. Only you can draw them into a close relationship with you, saved by grace and also kept by grace. Oh, Father, strengthen them. And for those, Lord, who have been going through hard times, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just give them the strength to keep on trusting in Jesus Christ, as they heard this morning, to set their hope fully on the grace that is to be given to them when Jesus Christ is revealed, Lord God. And Father, for anyone, Father, in this church that might just need a touch from you, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to do your mighty work in our lives, Lord. We love you only because you first loved us. Draw us to yourself, Father, even closer to you, and we'll give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.